Fridays, we laugh because we don't want to cry. We need to really get it out there and have some fun. And that's why Bill Melberg, one of America's best political humor satirists, you can find out more about Bill at anEveningWithThePresidents.com, anEveningWithThePresidents.com. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
And in the immortal words of the late, great Harry Carey, hello again, everybody.
Hello again, Bill.
And I
understand we're going to be saying hello again to the 2012 Republican presidential candidates this morning.
That's right, Stevie and Diane. We first met the eight GOP presidential contenders 3 months ago in New Hampshire. Since then, Tim Pawlenty has been replaced in the lineup by Rick Perry. Once again, our Connect FM political analysts were on hand for this week's Republican debate in Florida, which I might add was sponsored by the Tea Party and aired by CNN.
Bill, let's start out with a short recap of some of the debate highlights, starting with Wolf Blitzer and CNN's wacky introduction, and ending with Herman Cain's usual wit and wisdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican candidates for President of the United States.
The early frontrunner, the newcomer, the firebrand, the diplomat, the libertarian, the fighter, the businessman, the big thinker.
But the question is, do you still believe that Social Security should be ended as a federal program as you did 6 months ago when your book came out? And return to the states? Or do you want to retreat from them?
I think we ought to have a conversation.
We're having that right now, Governor.
I'll finish this conversation.
And to hear these two go at it over here, it's almost incredible. You've got Governor Romney, who called it a fraud in his book, No Apology. I don't know if that was written by Kurt Cobain or not.
Go ahead and tell him how much credit he deserves.
Well,
does your governor deserve all that credit?
Not quite. I'm a taxpayer there. My taxes have gone up.
You know that Governor Perry has suggested that Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, potentially should be tried for treason for what he's doing. Do you agree?
I said that if you are allowing the Federal Reserve to be used for political purposes, that it would be almost treasonous. I think that is a very clear statement of fact.
For Rick to say that you can't secure the border, I think is pretty much a treasonous comment.
I raise about $30 million. And if you're saying that I can be bought for $5,000, I'm offended.
I would bring a sense of humor to the White House because America is too uptight.
America, and that's all the time we have.
America's too uptight. I just love Herman Cain, even if he doesn't appear to have a chance of getting the Republican nomination. All right, joining us now to talk about the Tea Party debate are two men who won their party nominations in the summer of 1992 and who debated each other after that fall. Here they are, former President George H.W. Bush.
Good morning, Stevie. Good to be here, Diane.
Okay.
And former President William Jefferson Clinton.
Hi, Stevie. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Great to be with both of you.
Gentlemen, what are your overall impressions about the debate this week? We begin with President Bush.
Stevie, I thought it was another excellent debate, although I wish the candidates had focused more on Barack Obama and his dismal record rather than on each other. But, of course, they're all trying to get into the lead, so, hey, we had some disagreements. But that's what debates are all about.
President Clinton?
Stevie, I think the Republican race is coming down to a battle between Governor Rick Perry of Texas and former Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts.
Do you have a personal favorite, sir?
Yes, I do. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. She is hot. And she was certainly hot when she went after Governor Perry in this exchange. Let's take a listen.
What I'm saying is that it's wrong for a drug company, because the governor's former chief of staff was the chief lobbyist for this drug company. The drug company gave thousands of dollars in political donations to the governor, and this is just flat out wrong.
All right.
The question is it about life, or was it about millions of dollars and potentially
wow.
billions for a drug company?
All right, I'll let Senator Santorum hold off for a second. You got to respond to that.
Yes, sir. The company was Merck. And it was a $5,000 contribution that I had received from them. I raise about $30 million. And if you're saying that I can be bought for $5,000, I'm offended.
I'm offended for all the little girls and the parents that didn't have a choice. That's what I'm offended for.
All right, President Bush, your reaction?
Stevie, I don't really care to comment on that particular exchange. Wouldn't be prudent.
President Clinton?
Stevie, I'd like to know, if not $5,000, how much can Governor Perry be bought for? Seriously, Michelle Bachmann was the real standout in that exchange. I thought she was outstanding. And as I said in June, I hope she gets elected president just so I can see her on the news every day.
Gentlemen, what do you think was the highlight of the debate?
Well, Stevie, I'd say it had to be this terrific comment by former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
Speaker Gingrich, would you raise the retirement age for Social Security recipients?
No, not necessarily. But let me start with, I'm not particularly worried about Governor Perry and Governor Romney frightening the American people when President Obama scares them every single day.
Newt Gingrich received President Clinton?
Stevie, I didn't really notice any highlights in this debate, not that one for sure. I thought the candidates were totally unimpressive. Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, Rand Paul, Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, John Huntsman, or as I like to call him, John Who. They were all pretty boring. All of them, that is, except Michelle Bachmann. She sounded and looked outstanding.
Finally, this is how the debate ended. CNN moderator Wolf Blitzer asked each of the candidates to name something they'd bring to the White House as president.
On something you would bring to the White House if you were the next president of the United States. An example, President George H.W. Bush put in a horseshoe pit. If you're president, what would you bring to the White House?
Karen and I have seven children, so we'd add a bedroom and some beds to the White House.
We'd have a very large chess set.
I'd bring a bushel basket full of common sense.
It's simple. I'm going to bring the most beautiful, most thoughtful, incredible First Lady that this country's ever seen.
Winston Churchill used to have his bust in the Oval Office, and if I'm president of the United States, it'll be there again.
I would bring a copy of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights, and that's it.
As a 40-year motorcycle rider, I would bring my Harley Davidson and my motocross bike.
I would bring a sense of humor to the White House because America is too uptight.
Ladies and gentlemen, the eight Republican presidential candidates.
And there you have it from the debate, President Bush, President Clinton. On that light note, thank you again for sharing your presidential opinions. We thank you very much.
You're welcome, Stevie.
Thank you so much.
Very welcome, Stevie.
Thank you for being with us this morning, and I hope you'll share some more of your insights and analysis for the upcoming Republican debates.
I'd be happy to, as long as Michelle Bachmann's in them.
But right now, it's time for our point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts. Good morning, my friends. I'm great to have both of you.
Good morning, my friends. I hear you. Fine and dandy here. How are you?
Fine, sir. Barney Frank?
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
I hear you loud and clear as always.
Gentlemen, there were two special elections on Tuesday for seats in the House of Representatives, where Congressman Frank sits. One was in Nevada, the other was in New York. Both elections were won by Republicans, and the results were especially shocking in New York's 9th Congressional District, where the voters are overwhelmingly Democratic and haven't elected a Republican in nearly 100 years, which is seen by many pundits as very bad news for President Obama and the Democratic Party next year. Gentlemen, your reactions. We begin with Barney Frank, Congressman Frank.
Well, Stevie, first of all, as my colleague, Congressperson Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is also the leader of the Democratic Party, put it, New York's 9th is a very, very difficult district for Democrats.
Excuse me, Congressman Barney Frank, but how can it be very difficult? Registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans in that district by a margin of greater than 3-1. And it's the same New York district that sent Geraldine Ferraro, Charles Schumer, and Anthony Hot Dog Wiener to Congress.
That's right, Stevie, and it was Anthony Hot Dog Wiener who made it a very, very difficult district for Democrats with his scandalous behavior, followed by his regrettable resignation.
Well, why was his resignation regrettable, sir?
Because it enabled that wascally Republican Robert Turner to win the seat. That's why.
Senator McCain, your thoughts?
Stevie, my friend, first of all, let me congratulate New York's newest Congressman Bob Turner. And frankly, my friends, Congressman Turner's win had less to do with Congressman Wiener's hot dog behavior than it did with President Obama's disastrous economic policies. As Mr. Turner said throughout his campaign, Tuesday's election was a chance for voters to send a message to the president. And their message was this: we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. In short, my friends, start spreading the news. The results from New York on Tuesday are going to be felt by President Obama and the entire Democratic Party next year in 2012. If the 9th District of New York is no longer safe for Democrats under this inept president, no district is safe, my friends, for Democrats as long as Barack Obama's at the top of their ticket.
Senator McCain, that will have to be the last word for today because it's time for us to start spreading the news about some of our great sponsors. But we'll be back in a moment with political humorist Bill Melberg right after these important messages. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. With Bill Melberg, political humorist and satirist. And Bill, I understand there was a rather non-humorous development from the Obama campaign this week.
That's right, Stevie. The Obama campaign has created a new website called attackwatch.com, which invites the president's supporters to report anyone who says anything negative about Mr. Obama to the White House.
That sounds a little scary, Bill.
Yes, it does. It sounds very scary. In fact, just listen to this new ad for attackwatch.com. Hello, friends, and welcome to attackwatch.com. These are scary times we are living in, made even scarier by liars and fearmongers, nasty people who don't like our great President Barack Obama, and who spread vicious rumors about him and his great work. You've all heard the rumors. They say that our economy is doing poorly, and that President Obama's brilliant policies aren't working. They falsely claim that unemployment is high and home values are low. They suggest that President Obama doesn't know what he's doing, that he's, quote, in over his head. And they criticize our hard-working president for playing the occasional round of golf, or for taking a rare and well-deserved vacation. Who are these people, these sniveling critics? Why, they're millionaires and billionaires and corporate jet owners. They're conservative Republicans and Tea Party terrorists. They're selfish, greedy people. People who want to hoard their own money rather than redistributing it to others. And they must be stopped. Stopped, I tell you. And how do we stop them? By doing your part to bring them to the attention of the authorities so that their lies and smears can be answered and countered. In other words, you must become a snitch. That's why the Obama campaign has created this new website,
AttackWatch.com gives you the opportunity to liquidate your neighbors, your co-workers, your teachers, your families, and your friends. Yes, anyone who says anything bad about our great leader, Barack Obama, should be reported at once to AttackWatch.com. If you love your president, you'll be a snitch. Just go to AttackWatch.com and tell them Big Brother sent you.
That sounds really scary indeed. Well, that was that a real ad for AttackWatch.com?
Stevie and Diane, no, that was not a real ad. I just made it up.
Wow.
Using a little Boris Karloff.
Yeah,
remember
that was
his
great.
Voice?
That was...
Your monster films. Monster films. But I made it up because AttackWatch.com is real. And everyone ought to find that scary, because we've seen what happens in other places and other times when leaders tell people to become snitches.
Yeah, and it's never, never pretty when that occurs. Man.
No, it's not. Yeah. It certainly flies in the face of the First Amendment, because freedom of speech is the most important freedom we have as Americans, and any attempt to stifle free speech or to silence the president's critics is, quite frankly, un-American. At least that's what I think, but please... Don't quote me at AttackWatch.com.
We've got to end with this. Here we go.
I would bring a sense of humor to the White House, because America is too uptight.
Love Herman Cain. How about
right
that?
On, Herman.
Hey, Bill, thanks for your time and talent as always, my friend.
Thank you, and Oski Wawa.
You and my alum, Bill Melberg, and eveningwiththepresidents.com is where you'll find him. Diane, thanks for your help.
Enjoy the day.
Diane Ducey, I'm Stevie J. It's Patty and Linda next, followed by Marilyn and Gary O'Brien this afternoon, and Tay and Jay after 3. Thanks for listening. Go Alana. Have a great weekend. I'm Stevie J.